Morning.
Good morning.
Some of y'all are real excited, aren't you? We are blessed, aren't we, that we get to do this. Sundays are wonderful. There was that most amazing Sunday when our Savior was resurrected from the dead, and the hope that we have, and we get to gather together every first day of the week and to remember how blessed we are. That we are children of God. And how blessed we are we get to do all this together as a wonderful family of believers. Lots of good and important things going on. Just to remind you again about Lads to Leaders kickoff tonight. We'll all gather in here as usual. We'll spend a short devotional time together. And then all those folks who are connected with Lads to Leaders, the kids who are participating, the teachers and such, will be dismissed to go over to the church house. The rest of us will stay in here and have our class together. Hopefully we'll have a few folks left over that we can spend time together here tonight. And let me remind all of you as adults as well, we're all reading through the Bible as well. We're all doing things in connection with Lads to Leaders as well. You get to stay in here for class unless you're, you know, one of the young people or helping to be a teacher. I got to have somebody left in here. Another great opportunity beginning again tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, ladies Bible class. That's been a great thing in the past, a little time off, but y'all get to start doing that again tomorrow morning. And then there's a wedding here on Saturday. Cody and Megan, I get to be here and be part of that as well, and you're invited to that also. All right, turn with me now, please, to Hebrews chapter 10. As you can see, the title for our lesson today, Do Not Grow Weary. Perhaps, like me, you are sometimes tired and weary from very hard work, from all the exercise, from running several miles every day. It can be at least very tiring going to the kitchen for ice cream, but today we're going to talk about a different kind of growing weary here at the end of Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 32. The writer says, "But remember the former days. Think back to when you first became a Christian, when after being enlightened, when you were baptized into Christ, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and an abiding one." Can you imagine what it must have been like for those folks back then? I mean, first of all, just living in that time, I guess they wouldn't have known all about it, so they wouldn't miss it as much as we would, but just consider a life without all the conveniences that we're very much used to. All the luxuries, all the blessings that we get to have now, just in our day-to-day lives that we very much take for granted, they didn't have that then. But beyond that, because they had chosen to become Christians, they suffered in a whole lot of ways. The writer here mentions just a few things there. Verse 32 talks about sufferings. Verse 33 talks about reproaches and tribulation, verse 34, even losing their property, people taking things from that. Can you imagine what it would have been like in that day? They encountered paganism. They encountered persecution, but still joyfully they would endure. If you are a Christian today, if like those folks there, if because of your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, you were baptized into Christ to become a Christian, your life is not exactly like theirs, but I hope, just as the Bible says there, remember the former days, I hope you too as well can remember about that time when you became a Christian. Would you think back on that even now? I don't know how old you were. You might have been 10 or 12 or 14. You might have been, as we call it sometimes, growing up in the church. Maybe you were 20 or 30. Whatever age it was, somebody cared enough about you to make sure you heard the gospel, that you knew the good news about what God had done for you and wants to do in your life. We all, if we're Christians, we did that together. Maybe it was long ago. Maybe it was something somewhat recently. Regardless, we all share that common experience. We all realized there was this thing about sin. And no matter how good you might be, if you're not in Jesus Christ, you're lost because of sin. Those of us who are Christians realize that. We recognize the need for something to be done about that. We needed forgiveness, and aren't we blessed that God made a way, that He paid the price. You know, you ought to be paying that price for your sin. But God gave His Son, and we all have that thing in common. We learned about the love of God and His grace. And we confessed our belief in Jesus and were baptized for the remission of our sins. Do you remember what you felt like then? In those days after that, you had just made the biggest, the best, the most important decision of your life in deciding to become a child of God. You made a commitment too, did you not? You made a commitment to Jesus Christ for the rest of your life. This wasn't just a, all right, I'll do this and I'll go back and life will still be the same. No, your life forever changed right then, as you determined God would be most important from then on. I trust you had so much joy and enthusiasm. You went about doing good, looking for opportunities to show the love of God to other people. Surely with enthusiasm, you even told folks about this great thing that just happened to you and this wonderful thing that God desires for all of us, as you happily, joyfully, enthusiastically shared the good news with other people. Look here still in this passage in Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 35 now. As the writer continues to speak to those folks that he said, think back when you first became a Christian. Verse 35, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. Then he quotes from Habakkuk, the prophet, for yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Verse 39 says, but we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. There in verse 36, you have need of endurance. Why do you think the writer would say that? I would imagine because he was aware there were some folks who needed to hear it. There were some folks even thinking back on what it was like when they first came to Christ and all the joy and all the enthusiasm. And for some folks that he's writing to, I'm assuming it wasn't all still there. Something had changed. Maybe they even still gathered with the church on a regular basis, but something wasn't quite as it was when they first began. Maybe some of that original enthusiasm, maybe some problems along the way, whatever it might have been, but that wonderful thing they had at the beginning wasn't there, and they really needed to get it back. They really needed to find it again. Some perhaps even thinking of giving up and quitting. This is a lady named Florence Chadwick, known mostly for being the first woman to swim the English Channel in both directions. On the 4th of July in 1951, she attempted to swim from Catalina Island to the California coast. And the challenge wasn't so much just how far it might have been, but that water is cold, very, very cold. And even to make it more difficult, a fog had come in. It does that from time to time, so much so that, well, she couldn't see where she was headed. One, that she was like getting lost, but she could not see land. She could not see her goal. And at a certain point, she'd been in the water for 15 hours, within just a half mile of the goal, but she gave up. And she, you do know there's a boat that goes alongside here. Otherwise, the story's over. Later, she told a reporter, "Look, I'm not excusing myself, but I think if I'd have seen the land, I might could have made it." And I ask, has that ever happened to you before? You've started something with great enthusiasm, great determination. You were so excited about it, but somewhere along the way, maybe you couldn't see the end in sight. You'd been working at it for a very long time, and by now you think, I should be almost there, but I can't see it. And you got discouraged, and you quit. I've heard before, you may have as well, maybe one of the hardest parts about mountain climbing, and I think it would apply to just about any venture or adventure, oftentimes the hardest part of all of that is somewhere in the middle. When you first start, I mean, there's such excitement there. I mean, that just gets you going for a long ways. And when you're almost to the end and you can see the goal and it's right there, there's a whole lot of folks who've been climbing Everest who have got within just a few hundred yards. And of course, you know there is that time you are to turn back, because if you go any further, there's a good chance you will die because you just can't take it there that long. But so many of them, it's like, it's right there, and they'll find whatever to get all the way there. But somewhere in the middle can be so difficult. The enthusiasm from beginning is kind of waned, and you can't see the end in sight, and it's that middle part where so many folks get discouraged. They get tired and weary, and they give up and quit. Back to the story of Florence Chadwick. Not long after her first attempt, she decided to try again. Unfortunately, once again, that fog rolled in, and she could not see the shore. But this time, she made it anyway, because she kept reminding herself, the land is there. I know it is. I may not be able to see it right now, but I know it's there. And with that confidence, she was able to bravely swim on, and she achieved her goal. And apparently there already was a record that men had set in being able to do that, and she broke that record by 2 hours. Sometimes, and we talked about it in our class this morning just a little bit, you just need to kind of keep on. And the same thing, though, don't you realize, can happen to us spiritually? That sometimes as we're going along that journey, we can get tired and weary and discouraged. Early on, you've got all that enthusiasm. It's just the most awesome thing. You think about it when you first get up in the morning. People can tell all day long there's something about you. Oh, yes, there is. Let me tell you about it. But somewhere along the way, it happens sometimes. You remember Jesus said, "He that endures to the end shall be saved." If you're somewhere in the middle right now and feeling discouraged, don't give up. In fact, do even as the Hebrew writer there talked about. Once again, think back to when you first became a Christian. Do you remember the commitment that you made? And I trust you already understood, it's not always going to be easy. You realize, even just like these folks did here, it can be difficult at times to live a Christian life in the midst of a world where there's so many people who don't care about that at all. And even as our world gets more and more, not only do we not, you know, appreciate Christianity, there's so many folks in our world today that have set out, we're going to do all we can to destroy it. Unfortunately, it may very well be that our world is becoming more and more like this world was back there. For so long, we would talk about those poor folks. Aren't we glad it's not like that today? But are we headed back in that direction? It seems indeed that may be so. I think when the writer wrote here, he was talking to folks who were getting tired and weary. They were losing some of that excitement that they once had. And what they said, what God said to them then, is the same thing perhaps we need to hear today. If you are tired and weary and discouraged, think back to where you used to be. Remember where you once were, what it was like then, the determination that you had. Remember that and find it again. In your mind, have that same joy and enthusiasm, that same focus on God above everything else. Let Him once again be the most important thing in your life. Determined to keep on keeping on. Go with me now to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Turn back a few pages. Even Timothy needed encouragement at times. Even Timothy, generally regarded to be a young preacher, certainly compared to Paul in his age, Paul wrote to encourage him. Encouraged Timothy regarding his responsibilities in the church at Ephesus, where he was right then. Encouraging him to keep on going on. Starting in verse 12, even if you're not young, even if you're not a preacher, what Paul says here applies to every believer today. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, as it would have applied to Timothy in his age, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example to all those who believe. Let people see these good things in you when they see your conduct, when they hear the way you speak, see the things that you do, when they see your love and your faith. They need to be reminded of Jesus. They need to see that. Verse 13, Paul told him, until I come, I'll paraphrase, you need to spend a whole lot of time in Scripture. They didn't have all that we have now, but they still had all of this Old Testament Scripture, which still pointed toward Christ, still filled with many things to encourage. Spend time doing that, reading it to others as well. In exhortation and teaching, it says at the end of verse 13, do not neglect the spiritual gift within you. We understand every Christian, when you're baptized into Christ, God puts His Holy Spirit within you to give you help and strength. Some folks, and really a relative few, back in the early days of the church, received an extra measure of the Holy Spirit, some miraculous gifts beyond what you and I have today, but some folks had that then. Timothy was one of those who had some extra help in what he was saying and doing. Extra help beyond what we have, but we still get help. And I believe we still have gifts, do we not? Maybe not the miraculous kind there, but do you not have abilities? Has God not given you opportunities and gifts that you can use to serve other folks and tell people about Jesus? So what he says here to Timothy, we can still apply to us today. Don't neglect that spiritual gift within you. Verse 15, take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress may be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. In my Bible there in verse 16, the New American Standard uses the word persevere. The King James Version says you need to continue in these things. The ESV says persist in these things. And look at the way the New Century Translation puts this verse. Be careful in your life and in your teaching. If you continue to live and teach rightly, you will save both yourself and those who listen to you. Keep on keeping on. You need it. And there's a lot of folks around you who need that as well, who need you to continue to once again have that enthusiasm that drive, that commitment to God that is so strong you just can't help but tell folks about it. You remember in Acts chapter 2, we looked at last week, tells us about those first Christians, about how they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They went everywhere preaching, spreading the word. And as I just mentioned, Peter and John saying, we cannot stop speaking what we've seen and heard. Was there a time like that in your life when you were so filled with the joy of salvation that it just radiated out from you? When you had that aroma of Christ, that fragrance, Brother Russ Anderson in our class Wednesday night talked about that aroma of Christ, that thing that's in you that folks just can't miss. It's just so obvious there's something amazing about you. It's this thing you have with Jesus, and you couldn't hide it if you wanted to. It just comes out because He is your life. He's everything. Think back, was there that time you really were that light of the world, that city set on a hill that everybody could tell, you're a Christian, aren't you? I can tell in the things that you do. Remember, Peter once said, be ready always to tell people about that hope that you have, that thing within you that it's obvious there's something there. Peter says, people are going to want to hear this. Tell them. Be ready always to tell people why you have this wonderful hope and why your life is what it is. I hope your life is still that way. But is it possible? Maybe. It's not all like it was. Maybe some of that enthusiasm has waned a little bit. You're not quite where you once were. There are times now maybe you're tired and weary and discouraged. Maybe even sometimes we wonder if we're really making a difference. There may have been a time that you saw a whole lot of fruit from the work that you were doing, from the way that you were sharing the gospel, but somehow now, maybe even if you're still teaching that Bible class, even if you're still trying to share, do you ever feel that way? Because you know, you don't always immediately see the results of your efforts, and that itself can be discouraging. I've been trying for so long to bring this one to Christ, and it's just not getting anywhere, and I'm going to give up. I've been trying so long. I'm teaching these kids, but I don't know if I'm doing any good. Have you been there? Are you even there perhaps now? Wondering, am I really touching lives? You try so hard to do what's right. Can I remind you, you really have no idea of the ultimate good that you may be doing right now. You may not see the results right now, but are you not helping to lay a foundation and plant a seed? Didn't Paul even talk about, you know, some would plant, others would water. God will give the increase. It takes all of us working together. What you're doing even now as a Christian and seeking to bless others, you might not see the results right now. You might not even ever hear. But I'm real sure many, many times good things happened later on and you had a whole lot to do with it. Don't be so discouraged over that. You're touching lives. You're laying a foundation sometimes that somebody else, God will use to further the work there. You've heard the stories. Somebody throughout their whole life trying to share the good news, but only one person came to Christ because of them. But that one person went on to baptize thousands. You are making a difference, even if it seems sometimes maybe you're not. Go with me back to Hebrews again now to chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We looked at chapter 10 that says you have need of endurance. In chapter 11, he talks about all these folks who were faithful to God, even if it was difficult at times, even if they might have been tired and weary and discouraged at times. And you come to chapter 12, and the Bible says, and you need to be like them. You need to keep on going no matter what. The Bible says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, since we've seen so many others that keep on keeping on, we need to do that well. We need to do that as well. He says, let us also lay aside every encumbrance, anything that would hold you back, and the sin which so easily entangles us. You got to get rid of the sin in your life, folks. If you really want God to use you, for you to be effective, you got to get rid of that. It's holding you back. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I talk all the time about, I really believe God has a plan for us as a church family, and I believe God has a plan for each one of us individually. Work that God has for you to do, opportunities He's going to put in your life, abilities, help He's going to give you so that you can do what He's called you to do. Run the race that is set before you, this plan God has. Look for it and live it. Stay faithful there. Fixing your eyes on Jesus, verse 2 says, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. Verse 3, for consider Him who has endured such hostility by sinners against Himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't give up and quit? That night before, we're told He was tempted and always like we are. You know He was struggling with it, right? He's praying, man. There's as much humanity there as you can think of. Lord, please, can there be another way? But He had that joy set before Him. He had the promise of God, I will raise you back up. He knew if He went through with it, what a blessing it would be and how much we needed it. For the joy set before Him, He went through with it. You and I are encouraged to do the same thing because of this joy, because of this hope for all these wonderful things. We need to endure. We have work to do. God's called us to be a blessing around us. The vision over here, just notice the last one at the bottom, to minister to our world, the community around us. God has called all of us and each of us to minister, to be a blessing to people all around us, to touch lives, to make a difference. The world and community around us, it's a big world, isn't it? It's a big enough community. Are you ever overwhelmed at a particular task put before you? I remember certainly when I first started building houses. Look at that. I don't know how to do all that. I can't do all of that. Well, I can do the first thing on the list. Well, and the next one too. Even after all the years, I still had a list every time just to remind me, because some things you can't skip, because if you go on to the next one, you got to undo it to go back and do the other. Yeah, it's sometimes hard to do that whole thing, but little by little, you can still do some amazing things. You might be overwhelmed to think, look at all we're called to do, to minister in that way. How in the world can we do all of that on our own? Well, on your own, you can't, but you're not really called to be on your own, are you? We are strengthened by the power of God. God may call you to do a lot of things you can't do on your own. But if He calls you to do it, He'll give you the strength to be able to do so. I want to end with one last passage in Colossians chapter 1. Then I got a story to share with you, and then we'll be through. Colossians chapter 1 is a prayer that Paul writes down here, a prayer he has for those believers then, and surely it applies to us as well. Colossians 1, verse 9 through 11, Paul's prayer. For this reason also, since the day we've heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, of God's will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience with joy. all prayed for us as well, that we'd be who God wants us to be, that we'd keep on even when sometimes we might feel tired and weary. You might feel at times, am I really doing any good? Don't give up. Run that race with endurance. Here's the illustration. A guy named William Wilberforce. Shouldn't be that hard to say. And I think maybe I've used this illustration before, but it fits so well. He was an English politician back in the late 1700s, early 1800s. He's known as being a great social reformer, and primarily he's known for his tremendous efforts to put an end to the evil practice of slavery. On one particular night, the story's told about, he was especially discouraged. You do know that happens a lot of times. You set out to do some big things, and there's going to be many defeats along the way. And he had had yet another one of those in his long battle against the slave trade there in England. So he's tired, he's frustrated. He opened his Bible. You know, sometimes people do that. I got to find something here maybe that will give me a little bit of strength, a little bit of help. Well, when he opened his Bible, a small piece of paper fell out, fell down to the floor. He picked it up, and turned out it was a letter that had been written to him long before, actually by John Wesley, shortly before he had died. And so it had been there, I guess, in his Bible for a while. Maybe he hadn't noticed it for a while, but he went trying to find something to encourage him, and this is what fell out. And he picked it up, and he read this. That letter said, "Unless the divine power has raised you up, I see not how you can go through your glorious enterprise in opposing that abominable practice of slavery, which is the scandal of religion, of England, and of human nature. Unless God has raised you up for this very thing, you will be worn out by the opposition of men and devils." But listen to this last part. "But if God be for you, who can be against you? Are all of them together stronger than God? Oh, be not weary of well-doing. Go on in the name of God and in the power of his might." We're going to sing a song that says, are you weary? Are you heavy laden? Do you have burdens in your life? Are you struggling with some things? Please know, with God's help, with God's strength, you indeed can endure. Think of that joy before you and keep on keeping on. If we can help you in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.